those at ease. It is certainly true that as we go through this lesson, you're going to see just how much the prophets had the same message to be said over and over. We're going to make different points, but their message came from God, and the message is very powerful, and these men had quite the task. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'd like to begin reading in verse 1. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people turn away. In the last days, he says, we're going to be struggling with these types of sins. Now, what's interesting is that these are the subtle sins, I would say. Maybe for Christians, they kind of slip up on us. This list is somewhat different than, let's say, the Galatians chapter 5 and the works of the flesh, where he says adultery, fornication, murder, drunkenness, etc. These are sins that we often find hard to identify in our own lives. Things like love of money. I might say very quickly, oh, I don't love money. Well, we have to think, don't we? We have to give some thought to that, because that's something that can be very subtle. How about unthankfulness? Being an unthankful person. How about being unforgiving, which is one of the words that he uses here. Again, that's different than adultery, fornication, drunkenness. How about identifying yourself as headstrong? Nobody likes to say that. Sometimes we joke. We'll say, oh, I'm stubborn and I'm proud of it. But it's not a great quality or trait for the child of God in any shape or form. So do you see the point that I want to make here at the start? These are sins that are often hard for us to see within ourselves. It's often hard for us to identify. And so our lesson this evening comes from the book of Amos. So if you'll now turn to the book of Amos, and we want to look at, we're going to start in chapter 7 and verse 14. In chapter 7 and verse 14, then Amos answered and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, nor was I a son of a prophet, but I was a sheep breeder and a tender of sycamore fruits. Then the Lord took me as I followed the flock, and the Lord said to me, go prophesy to my people Israel. Amos wanted those that were hearing his message to understand, I wasn't a prophet. I wasn't a school. I didn't go to the school of the prophets. I was not. I was a shepherd. I was a dresser of sycamore trees. I can relate to that somewhat. My wife always said, I'm not going to marry a preacher. And she says, and I didn't. She married a Keebler elf. And I changed on her and became a preacher. Well, Amos is trying to tell the people, I wasn't a prophet, but God told me to deliver this message. And God uses all kinds of different people to deliver his messages, all kinds of different people. A number of years ago, I mentioned to a gospel preacher, his name is Elijah Heath. Elijah is a country preacher in North Carolina. I don't know if anybody knows him, but Elijah's very country, and he works among his relatives and the country folk. And he said, what are you studying? I said, well, we're studying Amos, and here's what he said. Brother Heath said, Amos makes you want to put your bib overalls on. And that's kind of what the picture that you get of Amos as somebody who is a country man. He was a simple man. He was someone that you would say was of the working class. And he is going to be someone then, if you know people that are of this nature, they're going to tell you like it is. And that seems to be the way that Amos is. And so he has this message from God, and he says, I'm going to deliver this message. And if you think about the message, if you go back to chapter 1, and in verse 1 it says, the words of Amos, who was among the sheep breeders at Tekoa, which he saw concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. So that dates the time that he is speaking. And so this is his message is to the north, it's like a southerner going up into the north and telling them and indicting them of their sins. And so you kind of get a picture of this man as a prophet. In the time that he delivers this, I mentioned this the other day, because Jonah also delivered messages at this time. This is the time during Jeroboam the second, that's again verse 1 in chapter 1 here, when God allowed the king to prosper. He allowed the kingdom to grow. They started regaining territory. They started expanding. And this is the time that Amos is speaking. Well, what happens when there is a time of prosperity and growth often? Well, what we see is business is booming. We see that the boundaries of Israel is expanding. But what I want you to do, like we've been doing, is I want you to see, however, the condition of the people. So we would say, oh, things are going really good. The economy's great. But listen to what God has to say through the prophet Amos. Let's look at chapter 2 and in verse 6. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Israel and for four, I will not turn away its punishment, because they sell the righteous for silver and the poor for a pair of sandals. They pant after the dust of the earth, which is on the head of the poor, and pervert the way of the humble. A man and his father go into the same girl to defile my holy name. They lie down by every altar on clothes taken in pledge and drink the wine of the condemned in the house of their God. Doesn't sound like things are good at all. Economically, you would think that things are great. People are prospering. But here's God telling them that this is the behavior of the people, and it's very simple behavior. Did you catch where he said, a man and his father go into the same girl to defile my holy name? Now, that's disgusting, but that's the condition and the behavior of the people. Look at chapter 4 and verse 1. Hear the word, you cows of Bashan who are on the mountains of Samaria, who oppress the poor, who crush the needy, who say to your husbands, bring wine and let us drink. The Lord God has sworn by his holiness, behold, the day shall come upon you when he will take you away with fish hooks and of your posterity with fish hooks. And you will go through broken walls, each one straight ahead of her, and you will be cast into Harmon, says the Lord. Basically, he's saying they're overfed, they're overindulged creatures. And we'll talk more about that in just a moment. Look at chapter 5, and look at verse 10. They hate the one who rebukes in the gate. They abhor the one who speaks uprightly. Therefore, because you tread down the poor and take grain taxes from him, though you have built houses of hewn stone, you shall not dwell in them. You have planted pleasant vineyards, but you shall not drink wine from them. For I know your manifold transgressions and your mighty sins, afflicting the just and taking bribes, diverting the poor from justice at the gate. Therefore, the prudent keep silent at time, for it is an evil time. Now that's, again, that's from the